everybody, and welcome to another episode of Two-Headed Game Master. I'm Cosmo, the first head. As always, I have to be, I guess.
Always. And I'm Dane, the Game Master head.
Ooh. Two-Headed Game Master is a podcast. What have we here?
You, hello. I'm named Brian, the Lung Butter Head.
Oh, gross. Two-Headed Game Master is a podcast about writing, designing, running, and playing role-playing games, where we discuss our favorite hobbies, share our thoughts with you, and play some games sometimes.
Today we've grown a third head, as you just listened to. Brian's back in the studio again.
Yep.
We're going to be doing a little live play tonight, today, whenever you're listening to this.
It's night for us, and it's cozy.
It's real cozy right now.
So I got myself a little module here, written for the intention of being compatible with 5e of the first fantasy game, if you want to, you know, keep calling it that. That's what they call it, like, in the book, because they can't say D&D. Don't sue us. Or do, I guess. And then, like, counter-sue and we get money? I don't know.
That's how suing works.
Anywho, so, I will put it to you guys. Well, we're going to be using not 5th edition. We're going to be using this medium dungeon game system that we kind of, you know, came up and ripped a bunch of stuff off for. You've heard us maybe mention it before, but, like, we've definitely mentioned, like, 10-minute dungeon.
I think we've certainly, like, played this on the show. And it is, like, we're like, well, we understand how 5th edition works. How do we get it down to one page so it doesn't suck?
Yeah, it's a very simplified version of a fantasy role-playing setting. So, that's what we're going to be doing tonight. Now, would you guys like to make your characters before I intro us in, or do you want to hear a little bit more about what we will be adventuring today?
I think the listeners would appreciate the intro in, and then we'll make our characters, and then get started adventuring.
All right. So this module is the Fae Sisters' Fate, written by, or published by Goodman Games. This one's written by Chris Doyle, so shout out to all them. And we're going to, after we finish today, you know, today's episode will be just the beginning of this module. I don't think we're finished in time for the, you know, one episode. The rest of it will be released as bonus episodes.
That's what you think, dude. I'm gonna fucking speedrun this shit.
And then we'll also review it and just talk about what was good about it, and, you know, writing a module in general, because we've started to do that a little bit with Afterlife. No spoilies.
And we've never done something like this before. We've never taken content that was prepared by someone else to be run in whatever game, and, you know, tried to do it out of the box.
So I will be trying to stick to the book as much as possible. Obviously, there's been some alterations to make it more compatible with medium dungeon rather than a full 5e experience. So, the Fae Sisters' Fate is what the adventure is called, and this adventure starts in the small town of Burr Hollow, which is adjacent to the Briarwood. Briarwood is a temperate hardwood forest composed of maple, oak, and hickory trees, and it has an impressive undergrowth story, mostly of shrubs adorned with thorns and briars and burrs. It's very difficult to traverse off established paths, but these briars, berries, thorns, and burrs also, you know, supply great berries for the town of Burr Hollow, and, you know, it's a small little town, probably some logging going on. So they fuck with the wood, but, you know, they're not, like, destroying the wood. So you guys will be adventurers passing through this kind of out-of-the-way town. It's about 250 hardy folk strong. in this generic fantasy setting. I'm going to say that's a, it's a pretty small town. It's out of the way. There's no big metropolis nearby. It's out in the woods. So you guys are passing by on your own business, and we can decide if you've been there for a couple of days or if, like, you're just arriving to town. But you haven't been there long. And the talk of the town is this goblin attack that took place a week ago. The goblins were few in number, which was weird. Goblins themselves, not extraordinarily uncommon in this part of the world, and the town of Burr Hollow has seen goblins and, you know, defended against goblin raids before. But there was too few of them to actually successfully attack town. Not much damage was done. Nobody died. There were a couple injuries. But then the, like, town watch decided to go clear out the Briarwood, make sure there was no larger force of goblins. And they have not returned since setting out a week ago. So that is enough background for now, I believe, unless you guys have questions for character creation.
How does it end?
I don't know yet.
What do we do?
What do we do? Do we win?
All right.
Well, I was going to go full rando, but right before we started, I felt like that was too much pressure. So I'm at least going to be a a druid and a ranger.
Okay.
Oh, yes, I guess the listeners don't know this. I gave Cosmo and Brian some options. They could either have a level 3 character or 2 level 2 characters. It looks like both of them have selected the 2 level 2 characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So added wrinkle to all this, we're each going to be playing 2 characters on this adventure. So we have a party of 4, which is what we need, probably.
Yes, the module is
recommended
for 4 to 6 first level characters. Again, for the 5 edition D&D. So I've also, you know, modified the difficulties in the monster stat blocks to fit medium dungeon a little bit better. But I still wanted to get that, hit that, you know, 4 characters. If they so wish, which it looks like they do.
Yeah. Do you have one in mind to go first, or
for a character?
Yeah.
Well, I think the druid is gonna be a lady.
Oh.
And her name is Samantha. Smallbottom. she's a real earthy druid lady. She wears like a long brown robe and she's got like those cool like antler, like a little crown with like the little antler kind of thing on it, you know?
Cool.
She carries a stick. Just a good old fashioned walking stick. So because I picked a druid, my AC is 11. I start with an HP of 9.
Now remember, level 2 characters forcing you to choose the D6. So roll a D6 and pop that on top of your 9.
Yes, daddy. Ah, it's a 1! Ah. So let's make that a nice fat 10. Her speed is not listed.
I believe
so. I'm gonna say.
So that's under the species.
Fuck. Oh, I didn't decide what kind of species they are. I'm gonna just roll a D4
for that one.
Yeah, and just see what that looked like. Elf. That feels right.
I'm an elf.
I'm a little elf. My name's Samantha Smallbottom.
In my head, they're like Keebler elves, not like. Not like Lord of the Rings, like Gladriel elves.
So I've always imagined that, like, that high elves are like that, you know,
yeah,
like Lord of the Rings. But then, like, a wood elf is more,
yeah, okay,
more Keebler.
So like, oh yeah, they're like a wood elf. She's a wood elf.
And I just came out of my tree. Boy, are my arms tired.
Her proficiency is plus 2. And that doesn't go up with level 2, does it?
No.
It's not like
not
plus...
unless you chose that, but I force you to take the HP dice.
Yes, daddy.
So you will have a chance to level up partway through the adventure. Where that is exactly depends on how you play.
So I'm proficient in religion / nature. So does that just mean since nature's my religion, I'm proficient in nature?
So you, the nature one is...
Basic magic and melee. I'm also proficient in something called etc. So I'm going to add that to my character sheet. I get basic magic... I get one spell from basic magic.
You get basic magic and one.
Oh, spell. I see. Okay, so I get a basic magic. Which so, she can like summon a pumpkin spice latte.
For listeners, the basic magic is just like most of D&D cantrips is just like if you want to do a small magic thing.
Right, create a light bulb or not
bulb, a light bulb.
A light bulb. Or, you know, snap your finger and have a little, like, torch on the end of your finger to light your pipe or something with.
She just makes a light bulb and then they're like, what is it? And she's like, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure I can smoke meth out of it. Fun fact, you can smoke meth out of a light bulb. Cosmo, were you planning on doing any healing?
I think my spellcaster character probably is going to have...
Because I'm happy to pick that up as mine.
Yeah, if you want to take that, then...
Okay.
Can't help but notice that you've both drawn lines in your heart. I would have drawn a broken heart, you know, down crack down the middle, but, you know...
Okay, damn it. That's,
well, that's...
not that good.
Listen, Samantha's heart isn't broken. It's full.
Yeah, but if it gets hit with a sword...
Well, she's not going to get hit in the heart with a sword.
She might. I don't know.
No, Dane said beforehand that she wasn't gonna. He promised. Okay, so she'll take basic magic and then the healing spell. And then I got to roll for my starting equipment, right?
Or choose.
So she got a stick, I said. So she's going to have a wand staff. So I get plus 1 to magic rolls. And then... she doesn't have fine robes. I mean, she fine, but the robes aren't. So she has a small... She has a small... It's like... It looks like a dagger, but it's actually like a... Like an icing, like a frosting knife. So that's a d4. And... can I give her an oven mitt?
You sure can.
As a light armor?
You sure can.
But just on her, let's see, her left hand.
Well, so would that be a shield rather than armor?
Yeah, it would be, Dane. Thank you for saying so, because that gives me plus 2 to my AC. And the cool thing about the shield is you can, if you destroy it, you don't take any damage.
Yes.
But then it's gone for good.
You can sunder it.
Oh, I'm going to sunder it, Cosmo.
Oh.
I'm going to sunder it real good. Do you want to do yours next?
Yeah, I'll go through this. Okay. So, I'll just go through the first one. So, my first character is, his name is Honk.
Oh, shit, that scared me.
Pizza. That came early.
All right. I'll keep talking. So my first character is named Honk Barrel Breaker. He's a tough guy halfling. He's a warrior is his class. So he's got like a light armored brigandine, no sleeves, short pants, big muscles, but still, you know, real little. So my proficient skills, melee and ranged combat, tactics, strategy, etc. For my inventory, so the light armor that I mentioned, that's just a plus one to AC. As well as a spiky mace is his weapon. And for the abilities that he has, he adds his proficiency bonus to the damage that he does.
Oh.
So, you know, he dishes it out. Sorry, D8 damage on the mace. Gotta note that. He dishes it out, and... what's another good one? I think he... I'm going to do... he gets a free attack when foes miss.
Well, that's nice.
So when someone tries to hit him and they miss, he's like, well, I'll show you how it's done. And then he hits him. Hits him with his mace.
And why do you get that?
It's one of the abilities that I purchased.
Oh.
Or selected.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Smart, smart, smart. That's very good.
All right.
Okay.
Your next one?
Yeah, my next one. So we had Samantha Smallbottom. This is Anthony Smallbottom. He's also a wood elf. But he talks like this. And he's different enough if one talks like this, the other one talks like this.
That seems pretty good to me.
You might have to take your hat on and off.
Okay. so he's going to be a ranger. She gives him an AC of 12, HP of 10, speed
dice?
7.
Did
say
you
again?
Roll your HP dice?
I did not.
Oh, plus 6.
I did not
a D6.
Do my
Cosmo.
Level up HP dice.
Ooh, a 6! Let's fucking go.
Alright, 15.
And I did the split heart just for you, Daddy.
Yeah, I did it also. Honk's a tough guy.
What's his HP?
15 now.
Damn.
With his level up dice.
I mean, it's no 16, but that's pretty good.
You're right, it's no 16, but you're probably a little bigger than me.
Oh, that's right, because you're a halfling, right?
Mm. Oh, and I got the halfling luck.
Oh, shit. Two. Yeah, dwarves get plus 2 to HP.
Yeah, but you're an elf.
Yeah.
Right. I was just saying, how interesting is that? that happens. Okay, everybody. Okay. All right. Anyways, yeah, and then of course, as we're just reading along this list, looks like elves get plus 1 to proficiency, humans get something. That's cool. All right, so I'm skilling things like ranged combat, tracking, nature, beast, hunting, survival, also etc. I'm going to start with, of course, a ranged weapon. He's going to have a... I like the idea of him using a sling. Dude, slings are fucking gnarly.
Slings are, yeah, pretty scary.
And then... Also, he's going to have light armor, which will put plus 1 to his AC. So he's wearing sort of like a link tunic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
how he sounds like.
Just how you said, actually, is exactly how he sounds like. So he'll have that, he'll have a sling, he'll have the light armor, and he will also have a small weapon. He also has a icing knife, which is a D4. That's it, right?
Did you choose your abilities?
Oh, I also get abilities?
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. Yeah. Wait, does my other character get abilities too?
Yeah, you get equipment and...
Oh, I thought since I got spells, I didn't have to... I didn't get abilities.
No, you also get abilities if you're a spellcaster.
If you're a spellcaster, you also get abilities.
Yes. So everybody gets
three
equipment, two abilities, and then if you're magic, you get a spell or some, depending on, things.
All right, well, then she's going to do give ally. So this is Samantha. Give ally extra action.
That's a cool one.
That's a good one. And then, she'll do extra spell per turn.
Casting spells.
But no proficiency on those. Which, did you guys know this? Elves get +1 to their proficiency just as like a race bonus. That.
Yes.
Not like those stupid dwarves, am I right, you guys? extra spell, no pro. And then for Anthony, he's gonna do the, we'll do crit on 19 and 20. And, he'll do the, what was the one I saw that I liked? Oh, crit versus I'm already doing a crit. Add pro bonus, his proficiency bonus to damage. Okay. Now I'm done.
Alright. I stopped grabbing pretzels right when I'm about to talk. Okay. Guys, I finished his name. Say something else.
This name generation brought to you by beer. It's good. Drink it.
Could I get a beer on deck?
No, Dane. Not in the middle of my ad spot. This outburst brought to you by BetterHelp. Go to betterhelp.com, enter 2HGM. At the checkout for 20% off. Tell him Dane sent you. Tell him Dane drove you there.
All right. I appreciate your stalling. I'm good now.
Stalling.
Appreciate your stalling.
No. Okay.
Easy.
So my second guy is going to be Colin Highcastle. And he is a spellcaster. He's a wizard. So, his proficient spells obviously are in magic, lore, spellcasting, arcana, and history, scholarly type things. He looks like a, he looks like kind of a waspy Ivy League kid.
Mm.
And he's on like a study abroad term. From Wizard College, doing some adventure, doing some arcane research. So, he has the basic magic of spellcasters. Mm-hmm. He has the buff spell and the counter spell. So he can help his allies. And I actually think I'm gonna change that. He can't help his allies because that's not his style.
Selfish.
He can hex. He can hex enemies or allies if he's feeling nasty. And he can counterspell other magical effects. His inventory is going to be fine robes, which give him a +1 in interpersonal encounters. He looks, he looks rich and kind of imposing.
I've never owned an article of clothing that made people like me more.
I mean,
that can't be true. If anything, you got dope sneaks.
You're just poor telling on yourself.
Yeah. Also, those sneaks aren't mine. I don't technically own them.
Would you take them off a guy?
Yeah. It made me like him so much, I was like, I gotta have them sneaks.
Give them to me. And Colin has a staff. So, you know, plus one
take
to magic.
The wizard's staff.
Oh, they meant like a group of folks working for him back at his...
Well, it does. Honk is his employee. Honk is his bodyguard. On his, you know, semester abroad so that he doesn't get bandit bushwhacked because he's not very friendly.
Despite his clothing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, snooty, young, finely dressed. That's Colin Highcastle. I gotta do my... Ooh. He did good, too. Plus 4 HP. So that'll... Up to 12, that improves survivability. No armor, so just a 10 for getting whacked. Human speed of 6, and proficiency of plus 3. So, that's... Yeah. Colin the wizard and Honk the halfling... Colin is a human. Human.
Which means he gets plus 1 to his AC or his HP.
Oh, yes, he does. Okay, we might as well bump that up to 11.
Crank it all the way
crank
to
it 11. To 11. Crank it. Spinal Tap joke.
Crank it to 11, breaking out a speaker.
Just, you know, for a little increased survivability, we got a lot to get through tonight, and he can't do it if a goblin kills him.
That's true.
So true.
All right.
Well, so, now that we have our characters, a couple orders of business before we can crack our beers and get into it. Spoiler alert, we already cracked beers.
Yeah.
Some beers.
There's more. But wait, there's more. This show brought to you by
more.
Beer. It's good. Have it.
Have your two characters met the other two characters?
I think so.
Yeah, I like the idea that we have.
I imagine that, so Colin and Honk arrive. What's the name of this town?
Burr Hollow.
Burr Hollow. And it's on the edge of kind of like a spooky forest.
So, I wouldn't say spooky, but I would say a mystical wood.
Okay, yeah.
I do think Colin would
Colin's
think it's
all about that shit. And he would also think it's a little spooky, but he's also, like, he's into it. So... He would have wanted to stick around and talk to folks, especially if something weird's going on, because he smells magic. He smells, you know, something afoot. And yes. He's interested because he's taking this semester abroad.
He's trying to find culture.
Well, yeah, to culture himself, but also to, like, discover magical secrets and increase his own magical powers so that when he goes back to school next semester... he can impress everybody who, you know, his friends who aren't really his friends, who he doesn't really like very much. He wants to be cooler than them.
Sure. That's what I try to do, but try being friends with a couple of podcasters. It is not easy. You guys are the fucking coolest, man.
Well, we appreciate it. We appreciate your esteem.
So, to answer the question...
Yes.
You guys...
Yeah.
Why are you guys traveling again?
Oh, right.
I think maybe we met here.
What if, yeah, and maybe we're sort of... Anthony and Samantha are soliciting themselves as, like, wood guides, quote-unquote wood guides.
Oh, we'd definitely be, yeah, chatting about that.
Yeah, so, like...
As soon as Colin heard about this, he's like, well, I kind of want to go in those woods.
Yeah. Oh fuck, both my guys are wearing aprons too. So they're wearing aprons, they're sitting in a pub. One day you come across them, they're like, oh fuck, you want to go
to the forest? We know all about the forest.
Yes, the forest is, well, I've been hearing things, and it's it's most interesting to me, and I, my companion here, and he gestures to Honk, who just kind of mean mugs. he's very good at keeping me safe, but,
By now, I'm sure you have heard the tales going.
I like
right
it.
Into
no,
Bong
it's good,
Rung
it's good. I say you heard the tales.
These are despicable goblins boldly attacking our town but a week ago.
We had heard something about that.
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
Well, our brave captain of the guard quickly rallied her best men and sent those vile humanoids scurrying back into their dark holes.
Sorry.
The ones that didn't escape, we're going to bury them on the edge of the Briarwood.
Yeah, rest in peace, rest in peace.
But against my wishes, the captain, she gathered up a troop of 12 of the finest of our guard and departed down for them goblins. She hoped to find out their camp or their lair and kind of, put it to the sword, if you will. But that was a week ago. And we hadn't heard a thing out of him until last night. He kind of takes a seat, it's like, now he's got your attention, and kind of leans in a little closer.
No, please sit down.
So, although not wounded, he was disheveled, exhausted and starving. He's been tended to and rest comfortably, you have my word on that. He rambled on and on about them goblins, though, and their hidden camp.
Wait, you know all this already?
Well, I talked to him last night.
Interesting. And what was your name, friend?
My name?
No, I'm doing that. That's it. Sorry.
What was your name, friend?
Well, I'm Hansel, the mayor.
The mayor.
They both straighten up at the title.
Honk doesn't.
Well, this camp of goblins, see, is located just north of the road across Fonder's Ford, just a few hours outside of town. Now, we are but simple folk and have few warriors, especially after our captain took most of them into the wood. So, I was hoping we might be able to come to some sort of a agreement and have you guys go investigate, find out what happened to our watch, and maybe, clean up any goblins. As, one of the advisors who's still standing kind of leans down and starts to whisper in this the mayor's ear. Well, like I said, we're just a humble town here, willing to offer 20 gold pieces for each of yous.
20 gold pieces? Oh my god, that's a lot of money.
Is there any way that we could negotiate that up? I appreciate the consideration of payment, but a trek through the forest would... I'd pay for cleaning my robes and such like afterwards. A little bit more, sweeten the pot.
A different one of his clearly advisors, or like a town elderman, leans over and whispers in his other ear. It's like, we could get you free services, maybe like a line of credit at the general goods store.
Do you guys sell flour?
Like bacon flour?
Like bacon flour.
Well, of course.
What about here? Honk is asking, gesturing to the tavern around us. What about credit here? Because I'm about done with my first breakfast, but I'm going to need another one.
I don't think he knows about second breakfast. He leans over and shouts at the innkeeper. Johan, you think you could, extend the kegs to these fine folk? They're going to help us out with this goblin problem. Johan behind the bar is like nods. It's like, yeah, sure.
This poor guy trying to run a business.
Yeah.
Honk dumps the rest of his like eggs and bacon and everything into his mouth and waves a plate. Another round.
Samanthony. That's their that's their team name. That's their team name. Yeah, they're sharing a single bean, and they're like,
"You mean we could have a whole other bean?"
Or, you know, more.
More. I say we do it.
I'm quite curious myself to see what the arcane goings on of this forest, and a tussle with some goblins. Good for the digestion after a big breakfast. And he looks kind of distastefully at Honk's plate.
They both pat their tummies like,
"Yeah, we also had a big breakfast. I ate a whole half of a bean." Oh, it's more nasally, though. It's like this. I'll get it. Okay, so what's the deal? What do we have to do?
Well, Hansel starts to draw out like a rough sketch of the surrounding area and the Briarwood. So it looks like, supposedly, according to the guard that returned, it's across Fonder's Ford, which is about 2 miles to the east of town along the main road.
Okay.
So if you just take the main road to the ford, there should be some sort of sign, goblin sign, that leads into the wood. So it should be simple, you know, there and back in a day.
Oh, so we just like go in there, round some goblins up, and then come on back and get some flour and beans?
Yes, and hopefully enrich ourselves along the way. Not, well, the coin, we'll enrich ourselves that way when we get back, but along the way we'll enrich ourselves mentally as well.
Well, I mean, hopefully you meet our team of a watch coming back along the road, and you don't have to even go into the woods.
And they have the beans.
Sure,
they have. I don't know if they have beans.
Okay, all right. So it's like a, you know.
But you get the 20 coin regardless.
Sounds
right now.
Sounds pretty good.
Well, I don't think I can give it to you up front.
No, but you could probably give us like half up front.
Well, we gave you a line of credit, and free reign of the. The inn's larders.
Yeah, where's that second set of beans?
So if you need anything from, like, the general store, just tell them Hansel sent you.
I feel like this is too good to pass up.
Yeah? I mean, don't tell him, but I meant to enter the woods anyway, so might as well.
And we were gonna go with you, so this All is right. just sort of like a, you know... What do they call it? Ipso facto?
Yes, it's working out fairly well. Honk, I'm not so adept at this business as yourself. When you're finished there, will you go get us whatever we need for a rough time in the woods? And shall we say, start before lunch?
Oh, yes, we certainly want to start before lunch.
All right.
And Anthony raises his hand. He goes, "I'll go with you, Honk."
All right.
And he stands up from the table, and he does like a Eskimo kiss with Samantha. Little nose rub together.
Honk finishes his big stein of drink and his second plate of breakfast. Heads over to the general store.
I'm showing on Discord that we are not in the Discord.
What?
Oh yeah, it says how did the call go?
Don't show me that again, ever. Apologies. What is this? Okay. Turn off microphone. All right. We should be
microphone check
now.
1 2 what
sorry
is this?
About to our loyal patrons in the call. We thought we were in the Discord and guess we weren't.
My computer timed out. I got my mouse here. I'll stop it. I'll give it a wiggle.
Just pretend you're working from home, you know?
Yeah. Wiggle it to trick the tracking software.
Trick the tracking software.
All right. Honk and Anthony head to the general store.
He goes, what do you think of, what do you think of Samantha? Pretty great lady, huh?
I'm sure she is. I barely know her.
Yeah, me too. What's the deal with Colin? A good guy?
His money's good. And he's not led me anywhere too dangerous. He fancies himself adventuresome, but, you know, he's soft. He's soft and rich, and...
Yeah, I'd like
his idea of adventure is, not so rough.
Well, I like him soft, if you know what I mean.
I'm sure I don't.
And he throws out his hand for a high five.
Yeah.
Honkle
high five.
All right.
At the store, what are we thinking?
So it's like a general store, meaning like it has generally everything we need, right? So we just buy all of that.
Sure.
No, like, so what is it? Like, just like kind of like provisions and stuff? Do they have like, I don't know, grenades? Like, what are we talking
about? It's not a, like, blacksmith or an armorer's. It's a small town general store, so they got provisions, flour,
taffy,
some candies.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Some like jerky, some road provisions, camping provisions. So like, I don't know what you guys have with you in terms of that stuff, but like lanterns, torches, rope, knives. So
Honk would get a lantern. I think a lantern that he could, like on a little stick from his pack.
Yeah.
Because you know he's so little, he can't be trying to hold up a lantern and get in fights.
That's true.
You
know?
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a lantern. He gets a lantern on a stick that he can hang from his pack, and he gets a coil of rope.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Anthony's gonna get, he goes, can I get one candy?
Remember, Hans sent us.
Oh, yeah, Hans sent us.
You mean Hansel?
Yeah, that's what I said. Hansel. What did you say?
The mayor.
That's what he said.
Yeah, I hear you guys are taking. And, like, the shopkeeper's kind of a middle-aged, balding guy. He's kind of got, like, a pot belly, you know, a little apron around it.
Okay, Dan, why are you looking right at me describing me? He's just, like, a middle-aged guy, black beard, no hair. Kind of like all his dreams have left him, you can tell when you look in his eyes.
Yeah, I pitched in 50 gold pieces of credits for whoever could, you know, help us bring back our missing watch.
Did I have two candies then?
Yeah.
Holy smokes, two candies.
Two candies.
That's like a month's worth of candies.
Not for me, pal. would it be reasonable? It's not. So the sheet. For listeners' edification, I guess, so this medium dungeon sheet, it equips a character for, like, you know, active gameplay, but, like, role-playing stuff, the sort of starting equipment that you get in D&D, it's not really itemized here. So, as a halfling, I think Honk would want, and maybe already has, like, some cooking gear.
Mm.
For, you know, camp cooking gear.
Yeah, and similarly, like, both Samantha and Anthony have baking gear.
And if I didn't already have it, I'd get some from the general store. I'd, you know, little tripod to put a pot on, a couple of pots and...
Yeah, didn't want to presume one that, like, you know, I don't know if Colin travels by, you know, carriage from town to town and is always staying in an inn, or if you guys have spent some nights out on the road or whatever.
I think he prefers the inn, but Honk still wouldn't be without it.
Yeah. So, not saying that you don't have the things at the general store, but that's just kind of what is there if you wanted to peruse for something specific. That's the type of wares that we're dealing with.
I assume we have stuff to start a fire, but maybe it's like some oil, like extra
like
oil.
Extra oil?
Yeah.
Sure. Extra lamp oil.
I don't know. This is I always have difficulty in like store situations like this before an adventure because I'm like, okay, this is Dane, the DM, or whoever wrote the module, being like, hey, grab something real quick that you think you'll need because you're going to okey-doke us later and be like, you motherfuckers should have bought some cheese.
Right.
You ain't buy no cheese, so this mouse is going to kill you now.
Well, I will say that this is, I take this as, one, the module and me, myself. You have an opportunity to buy stuff if it's reasonable that your characters would have bought it. Like, the fact that you went there and looked at the wares means we can just retcon that you have that.
Okay. So, like, normal adventuring stuff, like rope and
all
that stuff.
And, like, we didn't roll up starting money or anything like that, and, like, I don't have a list of goods and their prices.
Okay.
So, like, anything that you wouldn't already be carrying that this store would have, again, not much. Like, it's not going to have a great battle axe.
Mm-hmm.
But,
carriage with horses.
Right. If you guys pop a camp later and be like, oh, well, I like whip up some, you know, ramen. Acceptable.
So no potions here either, though.
No potions.
Okay.
This is not the potion cellar.
Potion cellar.
The potion cellar.
I'm going into battle.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm good as long as we're working under the assumption that, like, we got the adventure
goods. Yeah, that we shopped.
Yeah. And got two candies. Put it on my character sheet, Dan. You can't take it away.
On our way out, after Anthony enjoyed two measly candies, honk, fist in the candy jar. On the way out.
Oh my god. What are you, like a king or something?
I'm hungry.
Also, to be clear, Anthony has not eaten the candies. He's stuffed them into his sack for later.
Them's his rationing candies.
Honk shakes his head. I don't get it, but alright. To the woods?
To the woods.
To the woods.
Let me go collect Colin. He says we're gonna get going and he'll just be sitting there doing whatever rich wizards do.
Yeah, Samantha finishes up. She's like,
so anyways, that's how you make an entire cake from start to finish, including all the parts where I was waiting for the cake to finish baking.
I'd never spoken to the servants about how they make the cakes before.
Yeah, it really is quite an intricate process when you really boil it down. But you don't boil it down. There's no boiling and baking.
No, that's... I was
paying attention.
Remember
how we talked about that? Yes.
Yes, you don't boil cake.
No. Well, it looks like Anthony and Honk are back. Should we all get going?
Yes, I suppose we shall. And he takes his napkin out of his collar and folds it neatly and stands up to hit the road.
Cool. So, the road east is a very well-traveled road, you know, the Emperor's Road, one of the Emperor's roads, so it's maintained at the cost of the Empire. So it's easy going. And you don't meet anybody along the way. Don't get attacked either, so that's good news.
That is good news.
So you get to the Ford, Fodder's Ford. The first thing you notice is the river that runs through the ford, that name is somewhere here, the Silver Run, because I can't I didn't like out Silver Mist Run, I was close. The Silver Mist Run, it's extremely low. And you can tell from the banks of the river that it's usually at the ford, it's usually about like 200 feet wide. Wait, no, wrong. At the ford, it's about like, you know, call it 50 feet. You know, this, there's a little bridge over it, but it's super low. And like the banks of the river are like kind of a mud flat leading into this like slow trickle of water. And you know, just from being around in this world, that the Silver Mist Run is a pretty significant river. So like something weird is happening. So it's barely 10 feet wide at the forge, right? When it's supposed to be about 50. Mm. So you cross the ford, and now you're looking at the Briarwood, right? Which is that thick, dense hardwood forest. And just on the other side, the east side, just like the mayor described to you, is this well-worn path that leads into the wood, north into the wood. Roll me a perception.
Yay.
So like woods crafts would apply, so like I assume the ranger and druid would have proficiency.
Yeah, I don't. Man, I hate that one. That can be.
What about this one?
I don't like that one either.
You don't like, here, I'll switch you this one for that one.
Okay, that can be Honk, the red one.
Honk the red one. can I use my other rolls that I did?
Could, before I traded dice.
They were all 20s.
Honk rolled a 6, but Cullen rolled a 13.
And I get to add my proficiency. So I rolled a 5 and a 2, which is an 8 and a 5.
So you're not able to glean anything more than just this is a well-trodden, recently well-trodden path that leads into the woods. So all the information is matching up, right? The supposed goblin camp is down this path.
All right.
How do you proceed?
Hey, it looks like this path here is where the goblins went, just like they said. So, yeah. I don't know. Maybe we should keep following this before we find those guys carrying all those beans.
Hope we find them. Honk gives Colin a little shove ahead of him and drops back to take the rear of the of our little column.
Anthony runs to the kind of scurries to the front, and he goes, "Hey, I'm really good at following tracks, so let me kind of carve a path here, you know."
I appreciate it.
So it looks like they went this way up the path.
Well, not to belittle your skills, but I could have followed that on my own.
Yeah, but I'm doing it.
Lead the way, yes.
I'm doing it by looking at the tracks, not the path. It just so happens that they coincide.
Ah. As you say.
Should they veer, I'm your guy.
So pretty quickly off the main road, the Briarwoods is in full thickness. It's a very nice, thick wood, so like, what was a bright sunny day has now become like a shady walk through the wood. Now this path is not super wide, but it's definitely been cleared. So like, you know, there's tall brambles and these nasty thorn bushes, and looks like somebody's, you know, hacked them and trotted on them and like, you know, made sure that this was a clear path. You follow it for, it goes in for a ways. You know, deeper and deeper into the woods you go. Tell. The trail ends at a clearing perhaps 100 feet in diameter, with the west side abutting against the bank of the Silver Mist. This glade was once perhaps an idyllic setting, but a saddened pall envelops the place now. Oh. The once lush grass is trodden, and the clear, crisp river waters are now but a muddy trickle flanked by exposed mud flats. The air is heavy with the scent of decay and swarms with annoying insect clouds. Along the riverbank stands a once majestic willow tree. but now its bark is peeling and its leaves have turned dry and brown. And this thing's massive. And despite the fact that it is peak summer in the region, right? So it should be in, like, full growth. Resting in the lower bough of the tree is a slumbering, delicate form of an elfin-like maiden. She wears a flowing dress that barely conceals the curves of her body. Mm. Her skin appears dried and ashen, with wrinkles of sadness etched on the surface. Movement to the right startles you, as three human warriors exit the underbrush, brandishing drawn weapons. And you can tell immediately that these are the town watch.
Okay.
Put up your steel there. We came to find you, not pick a fight. This is Honk.
You are the guys with the beans. We're here to help you.
So they move in between, without saying a word, they move in between you and the tree with the maiden.
Hmm. Oh, get a load of that real nice looking lady back there. She's something else.
And then Samantha slaps the back of Anthony's head.
Colin steps forward. As gentlemen, what's who's your friend here, and what is it that you're doing? We were given to believe you may be under duress, and we came to help bring you back to town. What is this?
They don't say anything, but kind of, you know, they had their weapons out, and they kind of put them up in a defensive. Give me an insight roll or like a mind roll or investigation.
All of us?
Yeah.
Oh. Oof.
It's a 4 for Samantha, 9 for Anthony.
That's a nat 1 for Colin.
Yikes.
But Honk rolled an 18.
Honk, you get the feeling that these guards are under the influence of something. They're not acting of their own volition. Like, you know, they're moving a little bit weird and off and kind of rigid. That and, like, you know, the fact that they haven't said anything, and there's like this glazed look in their eye. Mm. They maintain their defensive positions, though.
I think they're under a spell.
Yeah, that's my read on it too, Colin. You didn't notice that? No, but if there's a spell at work, I can try and work against it. Let me. And he kind of shakes his sleeves back, and whispers some arcane, you know, secret spells, and he's going to try just to cast a counter spell on them.
Ooh.
Beans. That's an 8.
Beans?
They start going 1, 2, 3, because it's a counter spell.
I'm going to say that is no, total of 8?
Yeah, total of 8.
No effects on the three guardsmen, the watchmen.
Do they, like, react to him casting?
Did you move forward at all, or?
I think he would. Yeah, he would have stepped forward a little bit to, you know, flourish and
cast. As he steps forward, they take a couple steps forward. Mm.
Honk grabs him by the robes, pulls him back, and steps in front of him with his mace at the ready.
Anthony wants to try walking backwards a little bit. Just like a few steps. Do they mimic?
They do not mimic. If you walk back without the rest of the party, there is no no effect. They stand a couple paces closer. Okay. But they don't move back, they don't move forward.
Listen, I don't necessarily think that violence is the answer here. Clearly they're trying to protect the lady, and they're not in their own sort of brains.
Yes, but it, then what we do, it'd be bad form to just leave them like this out in the woods. We're supposed to bring them back. We're supposed to report on this.
They have all those beans.
You keep saying that.
Well, I'm just saying, be ashamed to leave all these beans out here.
Let me, Can I try a counterspell again?
Sure.
On them? Alright. He kind of shakes Honk off of him and readies his staff again. That's even worse.
Okay, wait,
he's not on his magic game right now.
I want to try something.
Must have been something in that that rustic country breakfast. It's not sitting right with me. It's affecting my magics.
Both Samantha and Anthony just kind of look at each other. I want to send a message to the lady using my magic.
Okay.
Should I roll first before I send the messages?
Do you have to roll for those?
It says
for basic magic difficulty. You set.
The GM decides the difficulty.
Okay. So
cool GMs choose lower. Yeah. It also says. Yeah. That's interesting.
Cool GMs.
Yeah. Roll me. Well, your choice. Roll me first, or tell me the message first.
I'll roll. That's a 16 plus 3. Suck a fish. 19. So, she goes, holds her walking stick out, and kind of, like, narrows her eyes, and she goes, hey, sis, just want to check in. You doing all right? These boys here, they look real, threatening, and we just want to help.
So, everybody... Here is a quiet voice coming from the maiden. Trying to think of a... Child! Nope. Child, step aside. And the, like, lead guard kind of steps aside, you know, moves aside and, like, puts his sword that he was holding, like, across his chest, like, you know, you may pass. I am not very well right now. Please come closer.
Samantha comes closer.
Colin does as well, and Honk is kind of like, I don't know. Honk does, but he keeps himself between the guards and his employer.
Anthony says, stay where he is. And Samantha walks forward a bit. Past the guards, but not all the way up to the lady. And she says,
You say you're not well. What has befallen you, mistress?
Well, there are many things. First, let me apologize for the reception.
Oh.
I am not at my best right now.
Please. Not necessary.
And there is another thing I must admit. I am sorry if the goblins caused... Burhalo any trouble. That was my doing.
Oh.
I couldn't think of another way to bring more capable soldiers to my aid.
Oh, so you staged the attack on
Burhalo.
Yeah, it says right here, Burhalo.
Burhalo.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, that was me. That was my doing. But there is good reason.
Well, let's hear it, sis. What's the reason?
Also, some time ago...
Sorry, go ahead.
Some time ago, some frog folk arrived in the Briarwood. Right? I think they have killed my sister, Coralie. I am Loralee.
So, I'm sorry, your sister's name is...
Coralie.
And you are...
Loralee, the Hamadryad of the Briarwood.
I'm listening, keep going.
And I believe the frog folk have damned the silver mist, which is why I am in such a weakened state. They mean evil upon this Briarwood. As its sworn protector, I must do something. So I sent the goblins to town to draw the watch to me, and I beseech the watch to go and...
Oh, fuck.
Hold on, we need some computer power before the recording dies.
Give it some power!
I gotta... Here, I'll switch it real quick. Throw that one in while I plug you in. Just so we don't lose
the recording. All right.
You guys are like a fucking NASCAR pit crew with that shit. That was cool to watch.
All right. Apologies, listeners. That's a whoopsie. I usually plug it in when we get started, but I forgot.
So I sent them on to the dam further north where the frog folk do their dastardly deeds, but they have not returned, and I fear that they have met some horrible fate. Hence I sent one of the town watch left to guard me back to town last night.
And so there are four guards here, right?
Were.
No. Like, how many guys?
Right now?
Yeah,
there's three right now.
Three.
So she sent one of the four.
She sent one of the four back. And how do we know how many left initially?
12.
12, that's right. So math tells us.
Yeah.
Dane, hang on. This fucking guy. Math tells us that 8 went to the dam.
Yes.
So. Okay. I go, yeah, cool, sis. Cool. I couldn't help but notice, though, these guards seem a little, not all there. Which, like, you know, I get it, men, right?
Bewitched, as it were.
Yeah, well, okay. Now, hang on. That's an offensive term. But they do seem not with their wits. What's going on with the guards?
Well, I might have charmed them a little bit, but the watch captain, I just looked at it. Melina? She was most amenable, and left 4 of her companions here to make sure no harm befell me.
They just want to be charmed.
And did you hear?
They want it to be this way.
How Loralee's flowing dress barely conceals the curves of her body?
Yeah.
How could you not want to be charmed?
Yeah, but they haven't said anything since we showed up, right? They've been sort of just glassy-eyed staring.
Spoken, which...
So, like, listen, I get it. This is a nice looking lady. And a sad nice looking lady? Like, mwah, chef's kiss, right? But.
Oh boy.
But. I don't know. Just some.
I guess I think this. The adventure continues to unfold before us. For which. I'm here for. As they say. But.
Who says that?
I think properly, my lady. If before I were to help you, it'd be more appropriate if you were to release your magical hold over these folks and let them go home. I think the rest of us, yes, me, my employer, my employee, and these two hirelings.
We're friends.
We are interested in pursuing this quest, and I believe we can help you, but... In the interest of, you know, playing nice, if you could release them from enchantment, and perhaps, you know, we could verify the truth of what you're saying.
Unless it's this, between you and me, like, you don't need magic to, you know. Everyone knows. The key to a man's heart is through his stomach.
Roll me charisma.
You want me to roll charisma?
Sure. Okay. Anybody who's trying to convince Laura Lee to drop this. All right.
That's fucking, what it, let me, oh boy, that's a 20. And that 20 is all natural. It's got real sad, saggy curves on it, or whatever you said about this lady.
Very well, as a act of goodwill, I will release the guards from their enchantment.
Hell yeah.
Only after you agree to assist me.
Okay, what do we know about Hamadryad?
That's a good question.
Okay. Definitely Samantha and Anthony. Probably Honk as well, just as a man of as a halfling of the world.
He's a traveling mercenary.
Colin, maybe, not so much.
He reads.
Hamadryads are fey adjacent, if not fully fledged, but they spend all their time in this realm. They are protectors of the forest that they inhabit. They are bound to their trees. So if the tree dies, they die, and they can't go very far from their tree.
And the willow we see looks bad, right?
Yeah.
And the river's been down.
They are,
and we saw it was low.
If you wanted to put it in terms of alignment talk, they are neutral.
Okay.
Right.
You know, they are about protecting their wood. So, like,
and
you
fuck, kill a guy for
you
it.
Fuck with the wood, you get the dryad horns, yeah. Or the thorns.
You get poked with a stick. All right.
Like, this is definitely on par behavior for a dryad. It's like, you know, there's a problem. I know. Send goblins.
Mm. Right? Yeah. But, like, by making a deal with her, she's fey. So, like, is it, like, one of those, like, monkey's paw things? Right? Like, because, like, it's a fey, right? You make a deal with a fey, and they're sneaky. Well,
I don't know that there's sneak. It's not like a genie who, you know, is gonna try and trick us with the like wording of our wish. I think they have to like. Fae have to abide by the terms of an agreement.
Right, but like. Anthony goes. Watch out for the small print. That's how the Fae get you. They're sneaky. They're a sneaky bunch.
Yes, and, I'd have my father's solicitor examine it if he were here and if there were anything written to be examined, but I think we're going to have to just
Heroes of the wood, please, I beg you, all I am asking is that you travel upstream, destroy the dam so that water may flow once again, which helps all the Briarwood and Burr Hollow, and everyone downstream.
Was there any, like, murmurings in Burr Hollow about drought, or everyone's bummed out because the water's short?
I mean, they were more focused on the goblin attack, and, like, you know, figured that the two were related.
Sure.
Okay.
And, of course, it will save my life. I do not have that long to live, unfortunately.
If we don't do this, you don't have that long to live? Or, like, we do this, you still don't have that long to live.
I reckon at this rate, and like motions towards the very small trickle of water, I figure I have about 6 days left.
Oh, God. Mm. Unless we do something.
Unless you can restore the flow of the silver mist.
Well, I'd hate to be responsible for a beautiful, scantily clad lady dying in a tree.
Wow, and I hashtag believe women, so I say we do it.
Do we have an accord?
Yes, believe we do.
We have better than that. We have a deal. And Samantha puts her hands out.
Laura Lee puts her hands out as well. It's very dry and rough, and like you feel like kind of, you chipped away some of her from her skin.
That handshake put the dry in Dryad, if you know what I'm saying.
At the handshake, all the guards fall down unconscious. Oh. Mm. They will wake later today. They will probably be confused. But if they try to harm me, I will have to charm them again.
Can we just, like, leave a note on them that says, like, Dryad's okay, go back to Burr Hollow.
Yes.
Leave all beans
believe
behind.
I can affect that. And he rummages in his satchel and writes a little note.
Now, heroes, it is dangerous to go alone. Take these. And a tree limb kind of, like, you know, it's got, like, twigs. There are three, what does it look like? Potion, you know, bottles, and, like, swirling inside is a golden green liquid. Three of them.
Anthony's checking the guards for beans.
Okay.
So he doesn't notice the...
But Colin takes one.
I think Samantha's going to take one. And you said it's a swirling...
Golden green.
Potion.
Potion.
Potion, yes. Fair to call it. So Colin probably would. I mean, you know...
We already did a potion seller bit.
He probably had an alchemist... you guys all know.
Yeah.
You've been around. These are potions of bark skin.
Okay. Yeah, then Honk is going to take one.
So, it's a common potion. I got the color wrong, but I'm going to stick with what I said.
Yeah, okay.
So, a person who samples the liquid feels a tingling on their skin and a slight stiffness in the joints. It makes your skin hardened into bark-like natural armor. As an action, you drink the potion, you gain a +2 to your AC for 1 minute.
Cool.
Sick, dog.
Alright. Then it seems as though we should set off... what time of day is it?
It's like mid-afternoon. So, the way north, the clearing kind of ended, or the path kind of ended in this clearing, so there's no clear way north from Lorelei's clearing.
So we'll have to do some bushwhacking?
If you cross, well, you're right on the river.
Okay.
Not a, like the Emperor's Road, so it's a more of a, you know, dirt track. Follows the river on the other side, so like if you cross the little trickle of water from Lorelei's tree, you could get on a logging and foraging path.
Okay.
That follows the river northwards. So instead of trudging through the briar patches.
All right. I think Colin would be all for that, and Honk would point out that if this is the road up along the river to where the dam is, the frog folk probably going to be watching it, and we could set out that way, but we should probably then make some more tactical decisions as we get along.
Lorelei also would have told you a little bit more about her sister Coralie.
Born and raised in a briar patch.
Lorelei is kind of on the south end of the Briarwood. And
okay.
Coralie was on the north end along the river. So, like, if the frogs set up and, like, were fucking with Coralie, which they most certainly did.
Yeah, that way.
It's probably on the northern patch or the northern edge of the Briarwood, which is, you know, an expansive wood. So it will be... some days of travel.
Okay. Well then, yeah, for right now, I say we make speed... This is Honk strategizing. Say we make speed along the road, unless you guys know a better way.
Oh, yeah. Folk. Every woods is full of, shortcuts. Your your how do you do's, your under overs, your, you know, all that good stuff.
Well, we'll certainly call on that.
All right, so you guys set out along the path that follows the river upstream. So you follow it unmolested for a hour or two. You know, it starts to get dark. Like I was saying while you were in the bathroom, Brian.
Don't tell people. That's so by the way, listeners, I never go to the bathroom.
The path that you guys are following along the Silver Run is not like the Emperor's Road that you were walking along. It's much, you know, more, you know, dirt track, overgrown, forager's path.
Okay.
So it's not as easy going, and it's, you know, still under the canopy, kind of, you know, on the long of the river, which is, you know, a slow trickle at this point, so there's like kind of a mud flat to the actual water flow. So you travel, it's getting dark, good spot for camp.
We don't camp. I'm just kidding. Let's
camp it up.
Alright, here's the thing about the woods, though. Everyone knows in the woods, light travels really far, so no fire tonight. That's just a wood fact.
I know you guys are cool with beans, but I was gonna whip us up something nice.
Oh?
Well, you guys don't eat meat.
No, we do. We just can't afford meat.
Oh.
We right. wish we ate meat, but...
Well, listen, and I appreciate it. No fire. No visible fire. How's that? How about I dig a hole? Halflings and holes. Boy, howdy.
Samantha goes, go on.
Honk digs like a, you know, little 2-foot pit to put a fire down in it, and builds up around it. So no light through the trees, mm-hmm. but he can cook us up a nice, nice stew.
Nice.
And
what's in that stew?
Meats. Vegetables.
End of list.
End of list, probably. Herbs and spices.
Yeah. You guys set watch?
Yes. It's part of Honk's contract. So, but he, you know, he'd split it. Split it with the ranger, probably.
Yeah, and for sure, he's like, this is the greatest thing I've ever eaten in my entire life. So I'm happy to stay up as late as you need me to.
Yeah, well, take turns. It's no good someone staying up all night being a liability in the morning.
I'm just saying, I've never had something so rich, there's a good chance I'm going to shit myself.
That's... All right, well, take it out of camp.
This guy shitting outside of camp. I love this guy.
All right.
So the night passes with no incident. And the next morning, you guys wake up, and now having spent a like full night in the forest, you can definitely feel that something's off. You know, there is a miasma of depression or whatever you call it. The wood is not healthy, is what I'm trying to say. But I think that will do it for this starter episode. We will obviously continue Woo! The adventure right after we do an outro.
Yeah.
But we'll call this an episode.
Where'd my card go?
So, thank you for listening to this episode of Two-Headed Game Master.
Yes.
We have some stuff on our website at 2hgm.com.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some stuff. I don't think Medium Dungeon's on there, but Tiny Dungeon or 10-Minute Dungeon is on there.
I think this is the same character sheet, actually.
It's pretty, very similar character sheets. and, like, you know, Afterlife are full length original setting and rule system available for buys, drive-through RPG.
Yep. Join us again next time, obviously. Oh, well, also Patreon and Twitter link.
We have a Patreon. Twitter is dead.
Yeah, we're not really on that no more.
R.I.P.
Fuck that. And
are you guys going to do Blue Sky?
I was thinking about it, but that's a discussion for a later date.
Okay. Can I plug?
You can. Yeah, you got something?
I want people to like and follow me.
Oh, thanks.
Where?
Just around.
Oh, okay. You want to, like, to follow you around on
the street? Yeah, I just wish more people would like me. Mm. And if they followed me, too, that'd be cool.
Well, y'all heard him.
I don't have the clothes for it, though.
Get to it. Our next mainline episode is going to be a review of this module. We're going to talk about the practice of writing adventures for other people to use in their games and what goes into that.
Cool.
Which is why we're playing this, to test that out.
So that will be the next numbered episode, but all this adventure will be coming out in bonus episodes. So if you like what you heard tonight, today, the morning, whenever you're listening to it, keep your eyes peeled for the bonus episodes.
Yep. Thank you to the Burning Saviors for the use of the song Pontillo's Finest as the intro and outro to our show. We'll see you next time.
Then the Briar.